Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Major rulings. The Supreme Court shuts down President Biden's student debt forgiveness plan and sides with a web developer who refuses to provide services promoting gay marriage in a blow to LGBTQ rights.
Tonight, a bitterly divided Supreme Court rules with blockbuster decisions on student debt relief and LGBTQ rights.
Yeah, in case you didn't hear, on Friday, all of the rulings came in, and they came in basically the way that conservatives would have anticipated and or hoped for them to come in. Every ruling was 6-3. All the controversial rulings were 6-3. That actually disappointed me. I was really hoping that the student loan ruling would be 9-0. I didn't really have any hope that the free speech and the gay wedding planner, you know, that case, I didn't think that case would be 9-0, but I was really hoping that the case with the student loan would be 9-0, because it is really clear. Now, I will say this, and I said this at the time when the oral arguments came out. This case is not as obvious as it appears. And it should have been 9-0. It could have been 9-0 in two completely different ways, by the way. And it wasn't. It was 6-3, which is really, it's disappointing because it's such a matter of great concern to the nation. And the law is really so clear. And yet, unfortunately, in this case, of all the cases that came down on Friday, and even including the affirmative action case, this is the one that, frankly, looks the most like politics, looks the most like what they believed. You know how the allegation against Supreme Court justices is, well, you know, they just rule on their own personal opinions about the policy. Now, I think that's false. I don't think that's true. I think instead what you have is they see the law differently. And they're all incredibly smart people. Even the ones that I think are bad as Supreme Court justices, I think are incredibly smart. Just because they're liberal doesn't mean they're stupid. You should always realize that. And just because they're conservative doesn't mean they're stupid if you're on the other side, okay? You got to be able to respect people you disagree with. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. But what happens is they see the law certain ways. And they see, you know, certain principles of legal interpretation certain ways. And therefore, they come to certain kinds of conclusions about what the law actually means or what the Constitution actually says. It's not the same as, well, I don't like abortion, therefore we strike down Roe versus Wade. There's nobody on the court that thinks that way. Nor is there anybody on the court, and I'm going to say this in as much, you know, charity and generosity as I can imagine, who really believe that abortion is good, therefore they upheld Roe versus Wade last year. That's just not how the Supreme Court justices' brains work. But because most people have a hard time imagining ever sitting as a judge and ruling against what they personally believe, but on the basis of what the law actually says, it's hard to imagine that. It shouldn't be, because theoretically, I assume that you could sit on a jury and watch a trial and decide that even though you hate this person, they haven't been convicted. The burden of proof hasn't been satisfied. Or that you really, really like this person, but yeah, the evidence is there. You know, because if you can't do that, then we can't have jury trials. We can't have a legal system. We got real problems in the country. But back to this case on Friday, particularly lots of big cases on Friday, two really big ones on Friday, and a smaller one as well. But the main case was over the student loan one. And the reason that this case should have been, could have been, and wasn't 9-0, I don't know, but it looks the most like, as I say, you know, politics or conclusions driving the reasoning when it should always be the reasoning driving the conclusions. And here's why. Because the basic two questions in this case are look very easy from the outside. Question number two, and I'm doing it this way on purpose, is whether the Biden administration or any administration has the authority to write down $400 billion in student loan debt, to forgive $400 billion in student loan debt with the wave of a pen. Did Congress give anybody in the executive branch that authority? And the answer is no. I mean, no, that's an insane thing to believe. To believe that the Secretary of Education can just wave off $400 billion in student loan debt, that is completely outside of the plan of the HEROES Act. Okay, that was a law that was passed after September 11th, gives the Secretary of Education power to respond to a national emergency, like a terrorist attack, by waiving or modifying any statutory or regulatory provisions governing the student loan program so that borrowers aren't worse off financially because of the emergency. That's it. That's what it was about. So it's about statutes or provisions or processes or forms or details. It's not about granting away $20,000 of student loan debt to millions and millions of people. That was never contemplated in the drafting of the language and the passage of the bill. The idea that that's the authority that was granted is, I mean, if you believe that, then there's nothing the president can't do. Like, if that's your legal interpretation, that kind of action is justified by the HEROES Act, then literally anything the president wants to do can be done under that kind of expansive interpretation of what Congress passes. So that question's not even close. But, which is my way of saying, this should have been 9-0 on whether that law authorizes the Secretary of Education to do what was done. The answer is no, okay? The Biden loan forgiveness program is illegal. It was not granted by Congress. But that's not the only question in the case. The other question in the case comes before that. Now, any of you who have heard me talk about law or have read about the law or know anything about the law, you know that there are always at least two big questions in every Supreme Court case. Question number two is whether the law is constitutional, or sometimes, of course, what the law actually says. Question number one is standing. Standing is the issue of whether you've shown a harm that you can bring a lawsuit against something that was done, in this case, for example, by the Secretary of Education or the president, okay? Can you bring a case? Have you been harmed? And there were several different plaintiffs in this case. Two of them got just kind of swiped away like gnats, okay? They were basically individuals who had varying forms of grievance about what loans of theirs were forgiven and how this didn't benefit them. And the details don't really matter. The court was right to swat those away. They were not standing issues. The other question is whether MOHELA, which is the Missouri Higher Education Loan Agency or Loan Authority, and whether they should have brought this case because they're the ones who oversee the loans in Missouri, or whether the state of Missouri had brought this case. And the problem is that the state of Missouri is the one that brought the case, but MOHELA, which is statutorily a separate agency that does not directly report to Missouri, even though it was created by the state of Missouri, that MOHELA is the one who has been harmed because about $44 million of income to them every year is going to get wiped away if $20,000 or $10,000, depending on the case, of student loan debt goes away. So MOHELA is really the aggrieved party, this agency that you've probably never heard of outside the context of this case, Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority. They were the violated party. They're the one that the president harmed because it cost them money, lots of money, $44 million a year. And there are agencies like this in many of the states, okay, the states who sued. The problem is that MOHELA didn't bring the lawsuit. The state of Missouri did. And there's not really a good, clear, solid argument to be made, in my opinion, that Missouri is the one who is harmed. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, John Roberts writes in the opinion and explains why Missouri was harmed. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that from the outside, as a layman, what I said at the time, and I'll say it still, is I don't think Missouri has standing, but I do think MOHELA does. But MOHELA didn't bring the lawsuit. Missouri did. They don't have standing. It should have been either 9-0 no standing or 9-0 standing and therefore and illegal, you know, a violation of the statute or, an expansive use of presidential authority that they don't have. But it wasn't. You know, the Roberts Court writes that, you know, Mohila is not that Missouri has standing and it was illegal. And then Kagan and the dissenters write Mohila doesn't have standing. But even if they did, the program's legal. Just like, oh, man. So though I agree with the outcome, though I don't believe that the president has the power to do what he tried to do, I don't think that they had standing. And so I disagree with the court. But I agree with the outcome, okay, because they never intended to grant this. Now, the other thing, just, and this is, it's just kind of important to understand. If Congress decided to give the Secretary of Education the power to write down $10,000 or $20,000 worth of individual student debt to everybody who has student debt, they can do that. They have the authority, but the authority is not in the executive branch. It's in Congress. And if Congress wanted to do that, they could do that. But they didn't. And that's why it wasn't constitutional. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Shooing seagulls away from our beach snacks is easy, but keeping my frequent heartburn away, that was a full-time job. I had to chew up to 10 antacids a day to manage it. Then I tried Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day blocks my frequent heartburn for a full 24 hours, giving me one-and-done heartburn relief. Thanks to Prilosec OTC, now my heartburn's on vacation too.
Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This Saturday, News Radio Pensacola will be at Casino Beach for the Pensacola Beach Blue Angels Air Show. Stop by our tent to say hi to Andrew McKay and Tammy Martin.
Good morning, 523, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, look, we're not under a big old heat advisory today. I mean, it's still hot. It's still going to be like low 90s and humid and awful out. But we're not under that like 115 heat index that we had been living under all last week. Oh, Lord. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
There's new poll out showing that a slight majority of Americans agree with the Supreme Court decision to remove race as a factor in college admissions. The new ABC News poll finding 52% in favor of that decision, 32% disapproving, and 13% of people polled were undecided.
What was the question again? I didn't understand
whether
the question.
Whether people agreed.
What was the question again? I don't understand the question. I'd like to be undecided, please.
All right, there you go. If you're planning a trip to California or Arizona, you might have trouble getting a hotel room here the next few days. Thousands of hotel workers have now gone on strike in Southern California. They're demanding better pay and benefits. Their union says they represent 30,000 hospitality workers, and they're seeking a wage increase and access to more affordable health care. And police in two states, Andrew, investigating mass shootings over the weekend. There was a shooting in Maryland. Two people were killed. 28 people were wounded. Apparently, it was another big block party type situation with multiple gunmen. Then there was also a nightclub shooting in Wichita, Kansas.
Wow. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. Sorry to throw you in. All I meant was I always find the undecided people so entertaining because, you know, I don't know. Is that a real thing? I haven't been watching the news lately. You know, like that's
always
the people who just have no idea. David, thanks so much for the update. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I don't want to get into I guess I do. One of the topics yesterday, it was even on the Sunday shows, not particularly surprisingly, was Governor DeSantis has put out this ad. Well, the DeSantis War Room put out this ad. And the ad is, the purpose of the ad is to show you that President Trump is more pro-rainbow than you think, and Governor DeSantis is definitely not pro-rainbow. Like, that's the purpose of the ad, okay? And it's, you know, came out on the DeSantis War Room Twitter feed, so it's their thing. And it's a weird ad, okay? I'll play some of the beginning. I think the back half of it doesn't really make sense on the radio because you kind of have to see it, but I'll tell you what's going on. Here's the beginning.
I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
But Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses.
That is correct.
In the future, can transgender women compete in Miss Universe?
Yes.
Make America great again.
So there you go. That's kind of the front, like 25 seconds. That's just, look, President Trump has said pro-gay, pro-LGBT, pick your acronym, whatever, the, you know, however you want to phrase it. He's said stuff like this, and he's had these positions, and so he's sort of, you know, soft on these issues or weak on these issues or an ally, however you want to describe it, okay? And then you have the second part of the ad. All I can tell you is whatever you were thinking was going to happen in the second part, it wasn't that.
Psych!
And there's no narration here. It's just random images of tough guy Ron DeSantis, like, and gladiators and flexing bodybuilders. And, you know, and then, like, it's showing how he's really against the gays. He's really wanting to clamp down on things, and he's going to protect you from the activist agenda. And is, and like the beginning is with him like laser beam lightning eyes shooting out. I mean, it's like he's a super, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It's, if you wanted to come out with an ad that said, you know, Trump is pro rainbow and Governor DeSantis is not, that's actually a pretty easy ad to produce. You know, they could have done that. It's just that it's so, it's weird. Like, it's super, super weird. And I almost thought, my first thought was, is this going to be another situation like the Make America Florida thing, like where it's not really his slogan, it's not really his ad, like somebody hacked their Twitter account or something, you know, because it's such a misfire that you kind of wonder, what in the what? I mean, look, I don't have any problem with, you know, many of the laws that Governor DeSantis has, you know, signed. They were obviously written by the legislature, not by him. So, you know, there's context here. But I don't know. The ad itself is super creepy. It's definitely super weird.
Because it is hot.
If you were gonna look at it, I don't think anybody looks at this and says, oh, no, that's a good one. That's a real winner. That's going to persuade a lot of people. So I don't know what happened here. It's an odd thing, but there you go. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? I'm going to probably mention this some more tomorrow. P&J, I love it when a news organization comes out with an article that tells me I'm wrong about something, and I was. You can't shoot off fireworks in Escambia County tomorrow. You know how you have 3 days in the year where you can shoot off fireworks legally now that the state legislature has passed? New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and the 4th of July. I knew that in the city of Pensacola it was still illegal, though let's just say lightly enforced, okay, unless you're causing real problems. I mean, that's, you know, okay, because, and I think part of the same in the county, but still, I thought, though, in the county it was legal, and it's not. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, the P&J reported it, so I went and looked it up because I was kind of curious. Is that really true? And, yeah, I don't know how I got the idea that it wasn't true in the county, but the county has a pre-existing ordinance that specifically says it's 50-1C. The use of or explosion of fireworks is hereby prohibited within Escambia County. It couldn't be more clear. And in Santa Rosa, by the way, you just can't do it within a county park. So as long as you do it not in a county park, you're okay. So just so you know, now, is that going to change anybody's behavior? Oh, I mean, no, of course not. But just so you understand what the law actually says, and again, kudos to the PNJ. I think it was the Palm Beach Post might have been a part of this, but, you know, PNJ had the article, and now you know. And knowing is something.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Severe weather in Chicago leaves the city under a flood warning. One person dies in St. Louis when a tree falls on their car. That from police. 45,000 customers without power in Kentucky due to a big storm.
A lot of big thunderstorms yesterday. Actually, some of those continuing early this morning with the heaviest rain now falling across portions of interior New England.
Fox weather meteorologist Adam Klotz. Nearing 500 days since Russia invaded Ukraine and the recent mini revolt by the head of the mercenary group that's no longer in Russia's corner.
It's a lot like a mafia movie. I mean, Prigozhin had a long-time problem with the defense minister and the chief of staff of the army. Frankly, Wagner is full of criminals, and he's a criminal, but they outperformed the Russian military and have embarrassed them.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Sunday Night in America, Trey Gowdy. Unrest in France appears to have cooled off in its sixth night, sparked by a police-involved killing of a 17-year-old. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Already 80 degrees this morning here in Pensacola. Well, there were two deadly house fires over the weekend in Pensacola. The first one on Saturday afternoon. That happened at a home on North 8th Avenue in Pensacola. One man died after being trapped in a home there. A firefighter also suffering some minor heat-related injuries as they battled that fire. And that one being investigated by the Bureau of Fire, Arson, and Explosives. A second deadly fire broke out then on Sunday at an RV in Dubuisson Park in the 4300 block of West Jackson.
Smoke detectors are not strictly for site-built houses. Smoke detectors are for any type of building that would be occupied, and especially if you're going to go to sleep at night.
And that is Fire Chief Kurt Isaacson with Escambia Fire Rescue. He says he's been to 50 different fire fatalities and not a single one had a working smoke detector. The heat wave that's been scorching our area the last several days continues. There may be a bit of a reprieve in sight, though. Pensacola Beach lifeguards say the recent heat has caused some problems on the beach. They're encouraging anyone headed out there over the next few days to be prepared.
Be prepared because it is hot, and don't be stuck out here with no water, no shade. So, come early, come before it gets too hot, bring plenty of water. Alcohol is not hydrating, so bring water.
And that is lifeguard supervisor Alex Johnson. He says if you're going to be out in the sun all day, your body may not be able to power through it. The 52nd annual Pensacola Beach or Pensacola International Billfish Tournament wrapped up on Saturday. Some of the top catches included some big dolphins, the biggest one weighing in at 37 pounds, a 152-pound tuna, 232-pound swordfish. That tournament put on every year by the Pensacola Big Game Fishing Club. And they also donated $10,000 to the Escambia County Backpack Project during the tournament weigh-in. A Tampa man being remembered for his ability to touch the lives of everybody he spoke to. That's what Chad Merritt had to say about his friend Joshua Crane yesterday. 20-year-old Marine Lance Corporal died last month in a motorcycle crash in California. Merritt and some other motorcycle riders took part Sunday in a remembrance cruise in Trinity for Crane. And funeral services taking place for him today. There's a school nurses conference, and that's being held in Orlando. They're meeting to discuss the challenges they're facing. The National Association of School Nurses conference wrapping up today, and they say one of their biggest issues is how to attract more people into the school nursing profession. 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Forecast for Monday looks a little bit cooler. Rain chance slightly higher at 30%. We'll have high temperatures in the lower 90s today with heat index values only up to about 100 degrees. We are not under heat alert for Monday. 4th of July, even cooler with highs near about 90 degrees, but the rain chance does come up to about 50% on 4th of July Tuesday during the afternoon hours. Right now, encouraging signs that the rain moves out by the evening. We keep rain in the forecast all through the work week. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEA. KR News.
And right now we've got 80 in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
It's summertime, and that means it's barbecue time. So for the best selection of meats, it's Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. From baby back ribs to Wagyu brisket, pork butts and shoulders, to chicken and all types of exotic meats to put on the grill. At Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, you'll find meat rubs and spices, as well as a large selection of fine wine, cheeses, and great deli items to add to your summer cookout fun. Call ahead for your sandwich pickups, too. Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. It's a great place to meet up and wine all you want. Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, on the west side of Pensacola.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. On Friday, we had a chance to talk to Director of Public Safety, Eric Gilmore, in Escambia County, Director of Public Safety, about a couple of different things, one of which was the CORS program. And that was, you know, kind of heard about this several months ago. There was a lot of work going into the startup of it. And then I just didn't know where we stood with the program itself, and so I wanted to chat with him about that. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thank you for having me, sir.
Hey, a lot of things to talk about with you, but the one I had meant to get to, I had intended to get to this with Wes yesterday, and we just ran out of time. So always my fault. But you know, I saw Governor DeSantis made a comment recently about he was kind of bragging on one of the things that his administration had done, which was facilitate the CORE program, this program for, you know, getting addicts who repeatedly have to use, like, Narcan, for example, get them into a treatment for that with drugs that would take them off of the desire and be unable to experience the, you know, the pleasure of doing the drugs. And this was, we were working on this, and it seems like we've been working on this for a long time, like 7 or 8 months. And all of a sudden I realized I haven't heard anything about this, but it seems like we've got to be doing it. Where are we at on the CORE program?
Thank you for bringing us to light, Andrew. We are, the CORE program is 100% up and running. Our Escambia County EMS crew, we hired the nursing staff. We've hired the EMTs. Our CORE program is, like I said, up and running. We have, as of to date, 8 inductees, which means these people have seeked help or ask for help, and we've got them in the program, and we go out daily and give them their dosages of Suboxone, and make sure they take it right there in front of us. And then we're also doing some wraparound services for these individuals to make sure they have everything they need to be successful. We've even worked with an individual to get the individual some polos. The individual now has a job, holding down a job and doing good. So while it's not eight's not a lot of people, but the eight that we have, we're making an impact in their lives, and it's working for them. So
wow.
I got to say, our community partners, what is supposed to happen is, we run these overdoses. People go to the hospital, and the hospital staff is supposed to interact with them and offer up this program. And once they do, they get enrolled with us because of that warm handoff, right? So the hospital, they can write a script and treat you. So they write a script and you're out of the hospital, and it's up to you to go through the program. Well, you don't have to go through it by yourself. This staff is dedicated to go through it with you and make sure you're doing the regimens until we can get you into the FQHC or with Sandra Smiley in that group and get into placed in their system. That way you have somebody walking with you step in step. And the first inductive we have, we're seeing success in that. Now, the individual's going to want to have to do this. So,
right.
They got to be committed and understand that we will be there and give you everything you need to be successful, but you've got to want to do it as well. So, but like I said, eight's not a lot, but it is
eight
we have, we're being very successful.
Eight is eight more than it would have been if we hadn't done the program.
You're absolutely right.
You know, is eight people you saved out of the Gulf a big deal? I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a lot. That's important.
That's correct.
What kind of response? Well, first of all, do you have any sense of like eight in the grand scheme of overdoses? I know is not a lot, but what is the like in the time period where we've been operating and managed to get eight into this program, how many have either declined or, you know, like what's the percentage rate of getting people into the program? Do you have any sense of that? Like how many calls you've run or overdoses in that same time period?
I don't have a true number for you, but I can tell you that we have. So God bless our core team. They'll hear an overdose go out and they actually wind up being accident lawyers. They chase the ambulance and they'll follow the ambulance to the hospital. And once that person, gets settled in and the hospital takes care of them, then the nursing team and the core team, they meet with that individual in the hospital and try to enroll them then and talk to them through the program. Now,
great.
A lot of people, actually a lot of people, we've had several people, of course, decline.
Yeah.
They just said, I'm not ready right now. And I don't know what that number is. I didn't get that number for us this morning, but we have had that. But then we've had some say, well, hold on, I'm interested in it. Can you give me some time to think about it? And we did have one individual that says, I'm not ready right now, and then 2 days later become one of our inductees. So, it weighs on them. They now that they know that this is out there and we're going to walk through it, and they explain the whole program with them, we're starting to see some success. And here's the thing. We don't have to chase the ambulance, and the hospital doesn't have to refer you. If you decide right now and you're hearing me that I want to do something about this and I want to get help, all you got to do is pick up that phone, call 850-477-HELP. That goes straight to my core team. They'll call you. They'll talk to you. They'll come out and meet with you and talk you through the process. So anybody who's deciding right now, you don't have to go anywhere. You just pick up the phone and call, and we will engage you.
So that's 850-477-HELP. And it may not be that people who are addicts are listening, although they may be, but it may be friends and family of those folks who recognize this as a helpful alternative and can say, hey, we can get you in a program where they can put you on the Suboxone. You don't want the drug. You don't feel the effects of the drug, and we can get you clean in your life if you're willing to do it. And by the way, the planting of seed, that has value, right? The first time you contact them, maybe you don't win, but, maybe it's the second or third time or something like that. And if somebody texted me, it's not just the eight lives. It's, all of the families, all of the friends, all of the relatives, the school, whatever, all of the around them. So, man, that's fantastic. And I have to assume that the hospital staff are excited about this, too, because maybe they finally feel like, we have an answer, maybe not for everybody, but for some people. Am I right in that?
That would be correct. That way they don't have to just treat the street, right? And just hope for the best. I mean, that's been the mantra in the past is, we've seen this individual, we've done what we can here right now, and good luck, and I hope the best for you. But now we can just, like I said, it's that warm handoff, and it's that group of people that it's going to be the same team pretty much. You're going to know our staff. Yeah. By the end of this program, you're going to know our staff. It's the same four nurses. It's the same EMTs. You're going to see them. You're going to know them by name. And it's just that warm face. that you have a connection with, and they're going to help you. They are absolutely going to help you through the process.
Now that's fantastic.
Whatever wraparound
that's
services you may need, they're going to follow up with that. So
we're talking to Eric Gilmore. And Eric, hey, just if I forget to ask, would you kind of continuously keep me updated, as you know, maybe once a quarter or something, just kind of what the numbers are, because I want to be able to tell people about the good success. Obviously, the big news this week, as we broke it on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe it was Wednesday, I don't know, was that Eric Gilmore, or that Jason Catrabone, the fire chief, is leaving, and he's your direct report, okay? So I assume he came to you first and said, you know, I'm leaving. Do we, you know, why? I know Wes Moreno yesterday said it was because of a job opportunity elsewhere. Is that really all it is? And, you know, he's sticking around for 90 days, and it's not really anything else. It's just he's got a better job opportunity.
He does. He's got a good job opportunity. Here's the thing. Jason has done a phenomenal job with us. He's a very strategic planner. I do hate to see him go. There was nothing, no one incident. Everybody's used to turmoil and, yeah. Oh my gosh, this happened. Look, it's nothing. He's leaving on good terms, really good terms. Jason was a smart guy. And I did learn a lot from Jason. I've been in fire service for 26 years, but to the administrative level that he brought, I learned a lot from him. I'm going to miss him because he did have a lot of insight, but we do wish him well. But there was no one thing or culmination of things that just set him on fire and decided that he was time for him to go. But, it was just a good opportunity for him, and moving on.
That's a funny expression to use, by the way. Nothing set him on fire.
Yeah.
The fire chief.
That's...
but
yeah,
no, that's good. And
he
leaves an agency that's in better shape than he found it, which is always the thing that we ought to expect out of people. Hey, the last thing I wanted to ask you about is, yesterday y'all were involved in a response to the Santa Rosa Medical Center, the fire that they had, and also needing to transport some of their patients over here to some of the Pensacola hospitals, right?
That is correct. We were asked to go to help out with our neighboring agencies to assist in the possible full evacuation of the hospital. They did not do a full evacuation of the hospital. Our counterpart, ambulance service over there, lifeguard. And by the way, if we had a situation over here, I would expect lifeguard to come over here and help us.
Right.
It's just mutual aid. That's what we do. We back each other up. No matter what name's on the side of that box, when the disaster hits, it's all hands on deck. So. Yeah, our guys did a phenomenal job of getting four ambulances available. We put two ambulances toward the transportation side if we needed to decompress the hospital really quick. And we put two trucks over in Santa Rosa County to help catch some of the 911 calls.
Oh, okay.
So we were fortunate enough. So, yeah, kind of divide and conquer and help them out. And like I said, if we had the situation over here, I would expect lifeguard to be sitting over here going, Eric, what do you need? So that's just how we work. During a disaster, it is literally all hands on deck. Everybody put your resources together and let's get this task accomplished. So, but our crews, like I said, a phenomenal job. We held no calls while we were assisting over there yesterday.
Oh, great.
We had three supervisors and was able to put four trucks over there to assist Santa Rosa and help out with that situation. And, these things they don't happen on a Monday morning or anything like that. No, it's going to be on a late Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon and going into a holiday weekend, right?
Of course.
That's how these things happen, so.
Hey, it did make me think when I saw this, and you talking about this, evacuating a hospital as a possibility. That's not what they had to do in the end because it was a limited fire, but still, it made me think this would have been, in my mind, a perfect opportunity to deploy the AmbuBus, but... The AmbuBus is still not with us. Is that right?
It is still not with us. We are waiting on the last piece of the puzzle. So we received funding from our healthcare coalition. The funding went toward the airbag system, rebuild of the AC system, upkeep, or actually going over the engine. So the healthcare coalition gave us the mechanical money. So the bus is now sound, structurally sound, and ready to go.
Okay.
And then the other pot of money was coming from the state of Florida. The state of Florida is supposed to give us the money to install the kit, to put the cots in, and get all those things and stretchers. And I'm still waiting on the state of Florida to give me that money. And I will tell you, yesterday, you're right, it would have been a great opportunity for this bus to get over there and start doing mass transit, pulling people out. But I will tell you, Chief Dorsell will be on the phone with the state this morning going, where is our money? because this thing has drug on for so long. So, but that's the last piece we're waiting on, is the money from the state of Florida.
All right. Well, you know, obviously we want to get it done, and I know you all want to get it done, and you have a deadline coming up. You have a hospital that is opening, and that is a key part of the transitional program, if I'm not mistaken. So.
So we are under the gun to get this thing going. So absolutely. So we will be making calls today to try to find out where that money's at, so we can get this process done.
Outstanding. Well, it's going to be a big weekend for your folks in public safety, obviously with the 4th of July and then Blue Angels weekend. Eric Gilmore, I know your folks do a tremendous amount of work, and we really appreciate all the stuff that they do for the community and keeping us safe. Eric Gilmore, he's the director of public safety. Sir, thanks so much for the time this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Andrew, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are coming up pretty close on the opening of Baptist Hospital when I don't know why they call it the ambubus. I guess because ambulance, but it should be called the ambus. That's a more natural way to say it. But anyway.
It's because Latin ambule means to go fast.
But then it would be the ambulabus.
Right.
Which they're not going to call it that.
Okay.
All right. That's coming up pretty soon. I forget the number of days. I know everybody who works at Baptist has it ingrained on their forehead, basically, how many days. I could literally call up any of the Baptist folks. They'd be like, yep, Andrew, it's 92 days or whatever it is. You know,
it looks like it's already up and running.
I know.
I mean, it's so
gorgeous.
Gosh, it went up so fast.
I know. Not fast enough, I know they would say. But anyway, it has to be ready for that, and so fingers crossed, hopefully we have it by then, because otherwise they got to go to contingency plans, which they have, okay? They do have contingency plans. They're not, you know, their whole operation of transferring from one hospital to another is not completely dependent on this one vehicle, right? That would be a silly way to plan things, but, you know, they're hoping to use it. You know, it's a good big piece of their plan. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, they're a great place to buy good quality used cars, and, you know, one of the things that I recommend about them is it's a great place to start. Because if you want to get a really good sample of basically everything that's out there that's a year, 2, 3 years old in good condition, low miles, and good prices, that's what they specialize in. And so you might have been thinking, well, I want this brand and this make. Okay, maybe, but why don't you go see what the 6 or 7 other alternatives in that category of vehicle are like firsthand? Because you know what you might decide? You might, by sitting in them and fiddling with the knobs and maybe by driving several of them, you might decide, you know, that's not my favorite one. I thought it would be, but it really isn't. And then maybe you consider buying a different one because that's what you want. You want one that you're really happy with instead of, you know what happens sometimes. You're like, you get the idea that I'm going to buy this car, and then you shop for that car, and then you buy that car. And then you get it home and like within a month, you're like, boy, I didn't realize this. You know, right? But if you compare them side by side, you might figure some of that stuff out ahead of time and then get a more happy producing outcome. Frontier Motors, great selection of good quality vehicles, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is Janet Keller, owner of Flightline Realty and Property Management Company. We are a veteran-owned business at Flightline and here to serve you. We salute the tradition of the Blue Angels Beach Show and all who make it happen. We can serve all of your property management and real estate needs. From home rentals to purchases, we'll make it a smooth flight. Not sure which direction to go? We'll help direct the flight line. Check us out at our website at flightlinerealtypensacola.com. Again, that's flightlinerealtypensacola.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Summertime is here, and with it comes the beautiful summer weather. Hey, it's Brent Lane with Fishbine Orthodontics. I'm excited to share some hot summer savings. Fishbine Orthodontics is offering a special summertime deal, a low down payment of just $149 for braces or Invisalign. Come see Fishbine at 8 convenient locations. Go to the website at fishortho.com to book your consultation. That's fishortho.com to begin your journey to a beautiful smile today.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's renovation, and updates, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all this Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why do you love your favorite pair of jeans? What keeps you connected to your oldest friends? How do you know that the solution you seek is right for you? The answer is simple. It's the fit. And at Pinair Credit Union, we believe your finances should fit you perfectly. It's the right checking account for how you spend your time and money. It's the right loan for where you are and where you're headed next. It's local banking that's as comfortable as your favorite pair of jeans. Join us at Pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Pinair Credit Union is insured by NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
What's your assessment of this alert?
It's a cluster of...
That former President Trump might become the next Hubbard Fire District Director, position number 3 in Oregon.
I did not see that.
Yeah. So here's the backstory on this. This is kind of a hilarious story. So in Oregon, they had the Statesman Journal is reporting on this, and they had it's for the Hubbard Rural Fire Protection District in Western Oregon. Okay. Tiny little place, 25 votes cast in a May 16th special district election. Well, most of the people got one vote or zero, and they were all write-in candidates. There was nobody actually on the ballot. Well, because there were write-ins, two people wrote in Trump. Three other candidates also got two write-in votes. So Trump tied with three other candidates. Each of them, out of the 25 votes cast, got two votes. So... they then rolled a die to determine which of the four would actually win. You know, that's actually a really common process when you have dead even ties, is you some kind of a cast lot, slip a coin, that kind of thing. So, well, four, you can't flip a coin. Well, I suppose you could theoretically if you did it a certain way. But anyway, you roll a die. And they rolled Trump. So now Trump has been elected if he chooses to take the job. Now, because he doesn't live there or own property in the district, another one of the candidates will likely get the job, but they have to reach out to him first to see if he wants it. So, you know, he could take the job if he were to have it. And I don't know how to make this joke work, but I know there's only one line that's relevant for this situation.
I have no choice but to tell you, you're fired.
Because it's the... Fired. District.
See, it would have been great.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yeah. All right. Hold on. I have to recover from that one.
All right. Good.
All right. The U.S. Secretary of Transportation is optimistic about the state of air travel. Pete Buttigieg was on CNN, the State of the Union. He says that on Friday, there was a record number of air travel and only 3% of flights were delayed or canceled. So he says flights appear to be back to normal here over the holiday weekend. One person has died, though, after a small plane crashed at a resort in South Carolina. Police and fire crews responded to that yesterday. It was just north of Myrtle Beach, and officials say four people were aboard that plane. And the cost of mailing a letter going up. The Postal Service says the price of a stamp is going from 63 to 66 cents this month.
66 cents for a stamp.
Too much.
On the one hand, amazing that you can send a piece of mail across the country for that price. On the other hand, it never ends now. It's just, you know, what's the price? I don't know. What day is it? It's like the old Venezuelan inflation or something. You know, you can use the money for wallpaper, just like the stamps, because it's, you know, keeps going down in value.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.